Let us seek the truth, cost what it may, come when it will. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
When I was reading the scriptures for today, I was reminded of a lesson that my dad taught me. He said, "Be wary when someone you've just met says, 'Trust me.'" Now, you might think this is kind of a strange lesson for the daughter of a used car salesman. But that's exactly what he said to me. And instead, what I learned was to trust people by observing what they did, how they treated others, how they gave or took credit for things, and if they were kind and compassionate. Did they boast like those in the gospel today? "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others." The word hypocrite comes from the Greek, and it's a word which is designating an actor who performed behind a mask. So metaphorically, this is someone who pretends to be something that they are not. One of the best definitions I ever heard for humility is this: humility is knowing what you are not. You know, I think it's easy these days to be a hypocrite. I think that our fast-paced society drives us to be self-sufficient. I think it drives us to gather that earthly treasure up. It drives us to keep up with the Joneses. In fact, it tells us we should surpass the Joneses. We strive for the bigger and the better. Go bigger, go home. I think we often fool ourselves into believing that we're more than we are, and that propels us even further into the plot that becomes the play of our lives. And we begin to believe our own illusions. I think sometimes without meaning to, we find ourselves wearing masks as we build relationships with the world. We learn to hide behind those masks, and we wear them so often that I think we forget that we have them on. I think that we lose sight of our authentic selves, and then we lose sight of God, and then we lose sight of each other. Lent is a time when we should remove our masks. Not so much to show the world who we are, but to look into the mirror and really take a long, honest look at ourselves and our lives. Building successful relationships with God and with other people starts with building an honest and sincere relationship with ourselves first. We need to be able to trust ourselves and know who we are and who we are not if we're going to experience that true inner peace that passes all understanding in our hearts. How we look at our actions in our lives and then repent our sins and make course corrections on our spiritual journey is a customized individual process. Nobody can do this for us. We can invite people in to help us, to guide us, and we can follow practices and disciplines in hopes of discovering who we are in the process. But it is a process, and I encourage you to practice a spiritual discipline this Lent. Whether it's one of those that we've made available out there on the tables in the upper room, or whether it's something that you customize and design for yourself, no matter what it is, practice a discipline. Pick a direction and head in it. And I'll guarantee you, if it's the wrong direction, you'll know. Then pick another direction. But I think the key here is to start, to try. Pray for direction. And the thing I have to remember most is that I need to invite God in to walk with me on this journey. That's the most important thing for me. So then, once we discover who it is that we are and are not, and the time comes for us to reflect on what we've done and what we've left undone, here comes the harder part. If we've taken off our masks and we're no longer fooling ourselves into believing that we're more than we are, recognizing what we've done and what we've left undone is a lot easier. Knowing in my heart what I've done and how I've sinned, that's the first step to repentance and reconciliation. And true repentance and reconciliation is an awesome feeling, a freeing of the soul, and it gives us the feeling of being spiritually washed clean. Anybody out there ever play a sport really hard or spend the day in the garden or at labor? going to the gym, really working up a sweat, and then knowing what it feels to finally get into the shower and just be washed clean, letting the water just pour over you, washing away the residue and the dirt and the grit. That's what repenting of our sins, praying for forgiveness, and being reconciled to yourself and God and your neighbors feels like. It's a deep and refreshing sense of joy in your soul. We are washed clean in the water of baptism, and we are washed clean when we are repentant and forgiven. Our time on earth is temporal, and too often we spend most of that time focused on how much of that earthly treasure that we can amass while we're here. I think that God wants us to focus on the fact that our souls are eternal, and our actions to love one another, those actions store up for us eternal treasures. And eternal treasures that are forged with love, I think that they are far more valuable and make a greater impact on this earth than any earthly treasure ever could. And they won't get stolen, and they won't rust. There's a rhythm on Ash Wednesday that's different from the rest of Lent because its focus is so unflinchingly on repentance. You know, it is a genuine day of community participation in the rite of reconciliation. You know, we only have two of those days each year. The other one is on Good Friday. And one of the things I really loved was I was reading was something that Leo Tolstoy said. He said, "In the name of God, stop for a moment, close your work, and look around you. Take today and look around you. Think about what you value most in life. Change your rhythm. We can't look up or outward if we are turned inward on ourselves in unhealthy ways. Can't be done. And we cannot see God if we've crawled into some fetal position around what keeps us from God. So for the next 40 days, we've got a lot of work to do, and the work begins in our hearts. We're all just trying to do the best we can, and Ash Wednesday reminds us that we are dust, and that we are broken, and we are cracked. But we have hope, and we can be redeemed." I love this line. "There is a crack in everyone, and that's how the light gets in." Leonard Cohen said that. I love that. In our cracks, that's where the light comes in. My friend John asked a question in his blog the other day I wanted to pose to you all. And the question was this: when it's Easter Sunday and Lent is over, how will I know if my Lent has been successful? Well, gee, how do we measure that? You know, how will we know if we've had a good Lent? A good Lent, I think, starts with good Lenten resolutions and self-examination and repentance and prayer and fasting and self-denial and reading and meditating on Scripture. We change when we spend time in the loving presence of God. And we change when we spend more time in prayer and in worship. And we change when we spend time serving others. It's also really important to remember not to be afraid, because I can tell you that self-discovery can be scary. But we're not alone if we invite God to walk with us on our Lenten journey. So our Lent will be a success if by Easter Sunday we act differently and we look differently, but not because we are still resolving to act and look differently, because we are different, because we will be transformed, like Jesus was transfigured in our lesson from last week. The thing about Ash Wednesday and Lent is this: we realize who we are and what we've done. We know what has separated us from the love of God. We repent our sins, and we try to live our lives as forgiven souls, doing the best we can to do God's work in the world, and all the time are aware that we are only dust, dust in the wind. And someday, to that same dust, we shall return. Not that I ever overthink things or anything, but I had to wonder, what kind of dust am I? I like to think that maybe we're stardust. Because just like us, stardust shines in the light of God. Amen.
Please stand.